Thank you, Brother Adam. What a privilege it is for us as the body of Christ to gather on this evening before Christmas Day and to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Christ Jesus. And what a joy it is for us to gather together as the family of faith, to have our family come home and to be with us and to enjoy this special time, this special season. If you're like me, you know, I've already ate too many sweets and a few other things. But I tell you what just fills my heart with joy is that we come together on the Christmas Eve service. In light of everything that is going on in our world, in light of the world's focus in a very wrong way of Christmas, that we can gather together tonight and remember the true meaning of Christmas. Christmas is truly one of the great times of the year. You can make a case that Christmas and Easter are the twin peaks of Christian celebrations. And there's no other time of the year that just fills my heart with joy and excites me than Christmas. One of my favorite stories within the story of Jesus is the narrative of the wise men visiting baby Jesus. I was reading in my devotions a couple of weeks ago, and I just started seeing some fresh things, some new insights into this, nothing that probably no one else has ever seen. Matter of fact, as I just began reading and even seeing some other commentaries, everybody else had already found these things. But they were fresh to me, and I thought I would share them with you tonight. Let me just read this passage in Matthew chapter 2 about the visit of the Magi, or sometimes we refer to them as the wise men. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one that has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. You know, this story is filled with many intriguing thoughts. In one sense, you ask, who are these magi, these wise men? And really, the Bible just says they're from the east. But we understand these wise men were probably scholars, learned men. Learned men of not only studying the stars, but of ancient writings. My thoughts are that they not only saw in the heavenlies the revelation that there had to be something else out there, a creator. And of course, that's what the psalmist says in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God." We know that there's a God because of the creation, and especially the heavenlies. But we also probably could understand that these men were learned men from ancient writings. And I was thinking, what all did they read or write? And maybe where were these men from? We're not sure. Were they from India, from China? It just says from far away, from east. And most scholars believe that it may have taken several months or maybe even over a year or maybe 2 years for the men to travel to Bethlehem, to the promised land, to seek out this newborn king. But they were scholars. They were learned men. You know, I wonder if somewhere along the way they had got a hold of some of the writings of Moses, the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And in studying those writings, maybe they came across Numbers 24:17. You know, I had not seen this before just in the last few weeks. But in Numbers 24:17, Moses writes almost as a prophecy about what? The star. In verse 17, it says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel." Most scholars believe that this is a prophecy pointing to the star that led the wise man to Bethlehem. They were also seeking. They were seeking. They were seeking the knowledge of God as they studied the ancient writings of whatever they could get a hold of, whatever they could see in the stars. That you know this, that they were seeking a knowledge, more knowledge. They knew a lot. In some versions of our Bible, they were called wise men. But it's interesting that they did not know all the truth. They did not know the truth about the one true living God, the God of Israel. And they did not know this truth about the king. But they came seeking. They came seeking this knowledge, this truth. And they were from far away. Far away, the east. They most likely, they were not Gentiles. And so they were not likely believers in the God of the Jewish people. We also know that they came bearing gifts. They came bearing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. These would be gifts worthy of king. But we also know that these gifts may have had symbolic meaning. Gold, the symbol of kingship. The frankincense, a symbol of deity and worship. Matter of fact, they told Herod, "We have come to see this king and to what? Worship him." The myrrh. The myrrh was another incense used in worship, but it was also used in the embalming process. It was a symbol of death, possibly pointing to the death of this king, this Jesus. You know, gifts are a wonderful thing. And the gifts that they brought were intriguing, and no doubt they were worthy gifts to be given to Jesus. We all like gifts, don't we? We like and we might even say that you could almost see that even the giving of gifts by the wise men had significance maybe of saying, why do we give gifts today? I mean, if I'd have seen a gift like this under my tree as a kid, I'd have been so curious about what was in it. Matter of fact, one of the kids right over here asked us before the service, and they came up to Brother Adam and says, "What's in the gift box?" That's just that, you know? Let's be honest. Not just the kids now. Kids, don't tell on yourself. Let's test your parents. How many of you parents growing up somewhere along the way snuck into the room where the Christmas tree was and picked up those gifts and shook them? Oh, yeah, a lot of sin going on in this room. Let me ask you this. Let me take it one step. Did anyone actually just sneak in there when no one was looking and unwrap the gift to see what it was? Oh, my goodness. There's something about a gift that is wrapped up. The mystery of a gift that just intrigues us, that draws us to knowing what it is. I believe there was something about the mystery of the gift, that king, that the wise men were drawn to. They wanted to know more about this new king. You know, when I was growing up, my favorite gift was a new bike that I got when I was about 8 or 9 years old. And I still remember it was green. It had a banana seat. Had some chopper handlebars on it. Yeah, you know, some of you old-timers are recognizing that bike. You got it too. And I remember cutting out some cardboard, and then taking some clothespins and attaching them to the spokes so they would just sound like a motorcycle going down the road. But I didn't stop there. I went and got my father's work gloves. And I got my mom's scarf, not the pink one though. And I put that thing on, and I got out there on my chopper motorcycle bike, and I rode around. Man, I looked like the Fonz from Happy Days. You kids will have to ask your parents who he was. You know, gifts are special. You know, the wise men brought gifts, but you know, I think it's interesting. They came bearing gifts, but they probably got the greatest gift. You know why? Because God is a giver. God's a giver of gifts. He gives us life. He gave us His Son at Christmas. And He gives us eternal life. You know, when we think about these wise men, we can learn a lot from them in one very real sense. We learn about the greatest gift ever at Christmas. That greatest gift was His Son. That gift was foretold by the prophets. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders. And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You know, the prophet Isaiah wrote those words 800 years before Christ was ever born. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it is proclaimed that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Savior? What's a Savior? Well, a Savior is someone who saves you. And why do you need saved? Because you're either lost or you're in desperate need. And Christ was that Savior. 1 John 4:14 says, "And we have seen and testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world." The reality is that God so loved us, the world, that He gave His one and only Son. "And whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And it seems that sometimes in the busyness of Christmas and the giving of gifts, and there's nothing wrong with giving gifts. I think they reflect the heart of God. But sometimes we might miss the most important gift. We might miss the reality that the most important gift was Christ, who was born in Bethlehem, born a babe and laid in a manger. But the mission and the purpose of Christ coming into this world was to go to a cross where He would die for our sins. And there give us the most important gift, the gift of eternal life. Why did we need a Savior? The Bible says we've all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. Oh, some of us may not be as bad as someone else. We can easily make that comparison sometime. But the reality is we're all sinners. We're all guilty. We've all broken God's laws. And God has one common consequence, judgment of that sin. He says the wages of sin is death. And that seems awfully harsh, but it's true. A holy God who is also not only the creator of our life, but also the judge of our life, declares the wages of sin is death. But you know, the second half of that verse says this, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." And the Bible says, to all who call upon Him, to all who believe in Him, the Son of God, He gives the right to become children of God. You know, to be quite honest, growing up, Christmas was not always my favorite time. It was hard. My dad was gone. He was not in our home. And it was just hard. We didn't have very much. Matter of fact, I dreaded Christmas a lot of times as a child because I knew I would have to go back to school and talk about what I didn't get. But you know, when I was 17 years old, that knowledge of Christ came into my life. And I understood who Jesus was. I understood him to be the Son of God. I understood that he came to this earth to die on a cross for our sins. And I put my faith and trust in him as a 17-year-old young boy. And I can remember to this day the change in my heart when Christmas came around. It was no longer about what I didn't get or didn't have. It's about everything that I did receive and everything I did have. And that was a relationship with God through faith in his son, Jesus. It changed my life. I love Christmas now. And it's not about what's under the tree or not under the tree. It's about what we can have in our life through a relationship with God. You know, I think we can learn a lot from the wise men. They were far away. Not just physically, but reality, they were far away from God spiritually. They were Gentiles. They were not believers in God. But you know what we can also learn? What do we say? They were seekers. They were seekers. They came seeking the newborn king. They came bearing gifts, thinking he was just an earthly king. But in reality, I believe they learned that he was much more than that. How do you know that, Cliff? I can't say for certain, but they did worship him. And I have to believe that Joseph and Mary could not help telling the story of the angels coming to them and saying, let me tell you about this child. I think they learned about the true king. Even if they did not understand it then, can you imagine these three kings later? Maybe 33 years later, hearing about a king in Israel that was crucified, the king of the Jews. Maybe then the pieces of all the puzzle come together. Maybe then they understood who Jesus was. They came seeking. They come to worship. Maybe you've been far away from God. Maybe you're here tonight just because you have been brought with your family. But in reality, like the star that brought the wise men to Bethlehem, you have been brought here by the sovereign hand and work of God. And he has brought you to the foot of the cross this Christmas to see that there is a Savior who died on the cross for our sins. That can change our life, not only here on this earth, but for all eternity. This Savior is who we celebrate tonight. These carols that we sing are about this Savior. My word of encouragement to all of us is worship the King of Kings. Worship him. Know him. Do not go through this Christmas and miss the Savior. Unto us a child was born. To us a Savior was given. Do you know him? You can know him. You can know him tonight. You can say, God, I want to know you as my Savior. I want to know you as the God of my life. Lord, I am sorry for my sin. I repent. I turn from my sin. And I am turning to you this Christmas. I want your gift of forgiveness. I want your gift of eternal life. Would you bow with me? God in heaven, I pray tonight, O Lord, that your Spirit would speak to our hearts. And on this Christmas Eve, you would remind us of the greatest truth about Christmas, that you sent your Son to be Savior of the world. Lord, as we leave here tonight, May we know the light of the world, this Jesus. Oh God, speak to our hearts. Draw us into your presence. Draw us to yourself, that we might know you, love you, and worship you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.